And we say good afternoon to Rabbi David Rosen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Apologize for the line.
No problem. The line is actually not too bad. We can hear you quite well. So can we talk about Judaism being vegan? I mean, I've got so many questions around that, but I'm going to give you an opportunity just to talk about it generally, and then I think we're going to come in with some questions.
I'm afraid you're not coming through clearly to me, but I know you want to talk about veganism and Judaism.
Yes, please.
Well, I would say today that the circumstances under which animal products are produced contradicts fundamental requirements in terms of Jewish teaching and practice, both, I would say, in terms of spirit of the law and in practical terms. I'm talking about the conditions under which animals are reared and which they are taken to slaughter. Of course, in the dairy industry, the way that animals are injected with the hormones and the antibiotics that are retained within the animal flesh, and then are also both within terms of milk, as well as, of course, in terms of flesh that's eaten. So there's a health issue, serious health issues, and, of course, the way the meat is produced for market makes it more toxic today than it was in the past. There are cruelties in the egg production, in which all male chicks are immediately thrown into a grinder or immediately suffocated because there are no value there. All these, of course, are complete contradictions of Jewish prohibition against causing unnecessary cruelty to animals. There's enormous wastage involved in meat production. There's environmental pollution involved in production. There are so many issues that are contrary to either specific legislation halachically, or certainly to the spirit of Jewish law, that even if you would say that technically at the last moment the animals have been slaughtered in the right way and their inner organs checked, nevertheless, by purchasing these products, you are party to an industry that is desecrating Jewish prohibitions, and therefore, at the very least, you are transgressing the prohibition of you shall not put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, which is a halachic prohibition against in any way encouraging a process that contravenes Jewish law.
So I've got a question around that, because, and I'm hoping that you can hear me, but twice a day Pesach is so central to Jewish law, right? Pesach is that's the be all and the end all. It was the birth of the Jewish nation.
I didn't hear properly. Try and say it again, please.
Pesach, Passover, is central.
Yes, are you asking about the Korban Pesach?
Yes.
About the sacrifice?
Yes, because if we don't partake of the Korban Pesach.
It's not only because, so you're asking me in an ideal society. I'm saying that were we to live in the farmyard conditions that our ancestors lived, then these transgressions will not be desecrated. There wouldn't be either the health issues, the cruelty issues, or the prohibitions involved. I'm not saying that Judaism forbids the consumption of animal products on principle. It doesn't, even though, of course, you could say that have to take into account the conditions under which we live. And in the past, we weren't able to get all our nutrients from a plant-based diet, and it was necessary to be able to have animal protein, which is very different today. So the question is, therefore, now, when the Beit HaMikdash is rebuilt, what will be the institutional form of service? Well, there are two possible answers to that. The products that come from an animal source will have been reared under conditions where there is no halachic contradiction, or to say that the temple will reflect the ideal situation of the Torah, which is the Garden of Eden and the Messianic Age, which are vegetarian societies, if not vegan societies, I would say. And this is the idea, of course, that was maintained both by the Abba Barnel in the Middle Ages, by Rabbi Joseph Albo of the Sefer Ikarim in modern times, much more identified with Rabbi Cook, and based very much on the Midrash that says in future days all offerings will be annulled except for the meal offering, which is a vegan meal offering, and therefore you can have a vision that is a vision of a temple service that is devoid of any animal killing, except, as you say, for Korban Pesach. No question from a halachic point of view There is one, and there needs to be one act of slaughtering a year that a Jew is party to, and therefore eating the Korban Pesach. But, well, when the Mashiach comes, we'll see what he has to say to us. If he has to, withstanding all the valid arguments, you have to have an olive size worth or a quantity, minimal quantity of an animal, of sheep, of lamb, once a year. Okay, we can manage to deal with that.
Why do you think there is such a strong reaction when I've been talking to a lot of rabbis about this, saying, you know, what are your thoughts? And I get very, very strong reactions. And I don't know if that's because we are South African or if that is something rabbinic. I mean, South Africans, we love our meat.
I think there are a few reasons for that. First of all, when one says what I've been saying, then it's implicitly a value judgment on those who are party to the meat industry and to animal products. And therefore, obviously, somebody who is confronted with this can either take it as a constructive criticism in which they need to reflect on their own diet and change it, but the natural inclination of people is not to want to change and therefore to want to justify what they do, even if it's actually unjustifiable. And the easiest way to do that is to be very aggressive towards the individual that is putting these challenges in front of you. So I think one is a perfectly natural resistance to change, which is a normal human condition. If you say this is a religious imperative, and that in fact, in effect, what you're doing is you're eating things that are not really kosher in the true full spirit of the word, then that's even a more serious indictment. So naturally, people will want to resist that. I would say there is additional resistance within the rabbinic community, because the whole of smicha, of Jewish rabbinic ordination, is based upon you mastering 111 sections of Yoredei of the Shulchan Aruch that are exclusively devoted to the whole question of slaughtering animals, dealing with their inner organs, the separation of milk and meat, admixtures, etc. So, in a sense, it's also a perception of a threat that their own authority, knowledge, and competency is being challenged here. So I think there are perfectly understandable reasons why people will reject so strongly. I think one has to, you know, treat such attacks with compassion and understanding that people are distressed when they react that way. And any violent response is an indication of some kind of distress.
How many spiritual leaders, not only, well, firstly, how many rabbis have signed your declaration?
Well, I'm not sure what the latest count was, but I think it was up to as many as 80. And there are more and more rabbis and more observant Jews who are moving to a plant-based diet every day. And I'm surprised at the quantity of them, even within ultra-Orthodox circles in Israel.
Incredible.
I also forgot to mention, Kathy, that there are some other halachic issues. For example, Rabbi Herschel Schechter, who is one of the Rashi Yeshiva of Yeshiva University in the United States, was alerted to the problem of what takes place with the dairy cows, went and checked up on the inner organs of dairy cows that were no longer being used and had been slaughtered, and discovered that most of their inner organs, because of the way dairy cows are treated, are actually distorted and will not be considered to be halakhically acceptable for meat. And the halakhic principle is that something that comes from a trace animal is trace itself, and therefore that milk that's on the market, a lot of it is actually trace milk.
Wow. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Rabbi David Rosen, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure that this is not going to be the last time that we speak. And
all the best.
Wish you a Shabbat Shalom. God bless. Bye-bye.